when they were alone, T-Kate wanted to put his head in Janie's lap and tell her how he felt and let her mama him in her sweet way. But something Sop had told him made his tongue lie cold and heavy, like a dead lizard between his jaws. Mrs. Turner's brother was back on the muck, and now he had this mysterious sickness. People didn't just take sick like this for nothing. "Janie, what is that Turner woman's brother doing back on the muck?" "Well, I don't know, T-Cake. Didn't even know that he was back."
"According to my notion, you did. What'd you slip off from me just now for?"
"T-Cake, I don't like you asking me no such question. That shows how sick you is showing up. You's jealous without me giving you cause."
"Yeah. What did you slip off from the house without telling me you was going? You ain't never done that before."
"That was cause I was trying not to let you worry about your condition. The doctor sent after some more medicine, and I went to see if it come." T-Cake began to cry, and Janie hovered him in her arms like a child. She sat on the side of the bed and sort of rocked him back to peace.
"T-Cake, 'tain't no use in you being jealous of me. In the first place, I couldn't love nobody but you. And in the second place, I just an old woman that nobody don't want but you."
"No, you ain't either. You only sound old when you tell folks when you was born. But with the eye, you's young enough to suit most any man. That ain't no lie. I knows plenty more men would take you and work hard for the privilege. I done heard them talk."
"Maybe so, T-Cake. I ain't never tried to find out. I just know that God snatched me out the fire through you. And I loves you and feel glad."
"Thank you, ma'am. But don't say you's old. You's a little girl, baby, all the time. God made it so you spent your old age first with somebody else and saved up your young girl days to spend with me."
"I feel that way too, T-Cake, and I thank you for saying it."
"'Tain't no trouble to say what's already so. You's a pretty woman outside of being nice."
"Wow, T-Cake."
"Yeah, you is too. Every time I see a patch of roses or something over sporting their sales making out they pretty, I tell them, I want you to see my Janie sometime. You must let the flowers see you sometimes. Yeah, Janie?"
"You keep that up, T-Cake. I'll believe you after a while," Janie said archly and fixed him back in bed. It was then she felt the pistol under the pillow. It gave her a quick, ugly throb. But she didn't ask him about it, since he didn't say. Never had T-Cake slept with a pistol under his head before.
"Never mind about all that cleaning around the front yard," he told her as she straightened up from fixing the bed. "You stay where I can see you."
"All right, T-Cake, just as you say."
"And if Miss Turner's lap-leg brother come prowling by here, you can tell him I got him stopped with four-wheel brakes. Ain't no need of him standing around watching the job."
"I won't be telling him nothing, because I don't expect to see him." T-Cake had two bad attacks that night. Janie saw a changing look come in his face. T-Cake was gone. Something else was looking out of his face. She made up her mind to be off after the doctor with the first glow of day, so she was up and dressed when T-Cake awoke from the fitful sleep that had come to him just before day. He almost snarled when he saw her dress to go.
"Where you going, Janie?"
"After the doctor, T-Cake. You was too sick to be here in this house without the doctor. Maybe we ought to get you to the hospital."
"I ain't going to no hospital nowhere. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Guess you tired of waiting on me and doing for me. That ain't the way I've been with you. I never is been able to do enough for you."
"T-Cake, you sick.
You've taken everything in the way I don't mean it. I could never be tired of waiting on you. I'm just scared you're too sick for me to handle. I want you to get well, honey, that's all.
He gave her a look full of blank ferocity and gurgled in his throat. She saw him sitting up in bed and moving about so that he could watch her every move, and she was beginning to feel fear of this strange thing in Tea Cake's body. So when he went out to the outhouse, she rushed to see if the pistol was loaded. It was a six-shooter, and three of the chambers were full. She started to unload it, but she feared he might break it and find out she knew. That might urge his disordered mind to action, if that medicine would only come. She whirled the cylinder so that if he even did draw the gun on her, it would snap three times before it would fire. She would at least have warning. She could either run or try to take it away before it was too late. Anyway, Tea Cake wouldn't hurt her. He was jealous and wanted to scare her. She'd just be in the kitchen as usual and never let on. They'd laugh over it when he got well. She found the box of cartridges, however, and emptied it. Just as well to take the rifle from back of the head of the bed. She broke it and put the shell in her apron pocket and put it in a corner in the kitchen, almost behind the stove, where it was hard to see. She could outrun his knife if it came to that. Of course, she was too fussy. But it did no harm to play safe. She ought not to let poor, sick Tea Cake do something that would run him crazy when he found out what he had done. She saw him coming from the outhouse with a queer, loping gait, swinging his head from side to side and his jaws clenched in a funny way. This was too awful. Where was Dr. Simmons with that medicine? She was glad she was here to look after him. Folks would do such mean things to her Tea Cake if they saw him in such a fix. Treat Tea Cake like he was some mad dog when nobody in the world had more kindness about them. All he needed was for the doctor to come on with that medicine. He came back into the house without speaking. In fact, he did not seem to notice she was there, and fell heavily into the bed and slept. Janie was standing by the stove washing up the dishes when he spoke to her in a queer, cold voice. "Janie, how come you can't sleep in the same bed with me no more?" "The doctor told you to sleep by yourself, Tea Cake. Don't you remember him telling you that yesterday?" "How come you rather sleep on a pallet than to sleep in the bed with me?" Janie saw then that he had the gun in his hand that was hanging to his side. "Answer me when I speak."
Tea Cake, honey, go lay down. I'll be too glad to be in there with you the minute the doctor says so. Go lay back down. He'll be here with some new medicine right away."
"Janie, I done went through everything to be good to you. And it hurt me to my heart to be ill-treated like I is."
The gun came up unsteadily but quickly and leveled at Janie's breast. She noted that even in his delirium, he took good aim. Maybe he would point it to scare her, that was all. The pistol snapped once. Instinctively, Janie's hand flew behind her on the rifle and brought it around.
Most likely this would scare him off. If only the doctor would come. If anybody at all would come.
She broke the rifle deftly and shoved in the shell as the second click told her that Tea Cake's suffering brain was urging him on to kill.
"Tea Cake, put down that gun and go back to bed,"
Janie yelled at him as the gun wavered weakly in his hand. He steadied himself against the jamb of the door, and Janie thought to run into him and grab his arm, but she saw the quick motion of taking aim and heard the click, saw the ferocious look in his eyes, and went mad with fear, as she had done in the water that time. She threw up the barrel of the rifle in frenzied hope and fear. Hope that he'd see it and run. Desperate fear for her life. But if Tea Cake could have counted costs, he would not have been there with the pistol in his hands. No knowledge of fear, nor rifles, nor anything else was there. He paid no more attention to the pointing gun than if it were Janie's dog finger. She saw him stiffen himself all over as he leveled and took aim. The fiend in him must kill, and Janie was the only thing living he saw. The pistol and the rifle rang out almost together. The pistol just enough after the rifle to seem its echo. TK crumpled as his bullet buried itself in the joist over Janie's head. Janie saw the look on his face and leaped forward as he crashed forward in her arms. She was trying to hover him as he closed his teeth in the flesh of her forearm. They came down heavily like that. Janie struggled to a sitting position and pried the dead Teacake's teeth from her arm. It was the meanest moment of eternity. A minute before, she was just a scared human being fighting for its life. Now she was her sacrificing self, with Teacake's head in her lap. She had wanted him to live so much, and he was dead. No hour is ever eternity, but it has its right to weep. Janie held his head tightly to her breast and wept and thanked him wordlessly for giving her the chance for loving service. She had to hug him tight, for soon he would be gone. And she had to tell him for the last time. Then the grief of outer darkness descended. So that same day of Janie's great sorrow, she was in jail. And when the doctor told the sheriff and the judge how it was, they all said she must be tried that same day. No need to punish her in jail by waiting. 3 hours in jail, and then they set the court for her case. The time was short and everything, but sufficient people were there. Plenty of white people came to look on this strangeness, and all the Negroes for miles around. Who was it didn't know about the love between Teacake and Janie? The court set, and Janie saw the judge, who had put on a great robe, to listen about her and Teacake. And 12 more white men had stopped whatever they were doing to listen and pass on what happened between Janie and Teacake Woods, and as to whether things were done right or not. That was funny, too. 12 strange men who didn't know a thing about people like Teacake and her were going to sit on the thing. 8 or 10 white women had come to look at her, too. They wore good clothes and had the pinky color that comes of good food. They were nobody's poor white folks. What need had they to leave their richness to come look on Janie in her overalls? But they didn't seem too mad, Janie thought. It would be nice if she could make them know how it was, instead of those men folks. Oh, and she hoped that undertaker was fixing Teacake up fine. They ought to let her go see about it. Yes, and there was Mr. Prescott that she knew right well. And he was going to tell the 12 men to kill her for shooting Teacake. And a strange man from Palm Beach who was going to ask them not to kill her. And none of them knew. Then she saw all of the colored people standing up in the back of the courtroom, packed tight like a case of celery, only much darker than that. They were all against her. She could see. So many were there against her that a light slap from each one of them would have beat her to death. She felt them pelting her with dirty thoughts. They were there with their tongues cocked and loaded, the only real weapon left to weak folks, the only killing tool they were allowed to use.
in the presence of white folks. So it was all ready after a while, and they wanted people to talk so that they could know what was right to do about Janie Woods, the relic of Tea Cake's Janie. The white part of the room got calmer the more serious it got, but a tongue storm struck the Negroes like wind among palm trees. They talked all of a sudden and all together like a choir, and the top parts of their bodies moved on the rhythm of it. They sent word by the bailiff to Mr. Prescott they wanted to testify in the case. Tea Cake was a good boy. He had been good to that woman. No nigger woman ain't never been treated no better. Nossa. He worked like a dog for her and nearly killed himself, saving her in the storm. Then soon as he got a little fever from the water, she took up with another man, sent for him to come there from way off. Hanging was too good. All they wanted was a chance to testify. The bailiff went up, and the sheriff, and the judge, and the police chief, and the lawyers all came together to listen for a few minutes. Then they parted again, and the sheriff took the stand and told how Janie had come to his house with the doctor and how he found things when he drove out to hers. Then they called Dr. Simmons, and he told about Tea Cake's sickness and how dangerous it was for Janie and the whole town, and how he was scared for her and thought to have Tea Cake locked up in the jail, but seeing Janie's care, he neglected to do it, and how he found Janie all bit in the arm, sitting on the floor and petting Tea Cake's head when he got there, and the pistol right by his hand on the floor. Then he stepped down.
"Any further evidence to present, Mr. Prescott?" the judge asked.
"No, Your Honor, the state rests." The palm tree dance began again among the Negroes in the back. They had come to talk. The state couldn't rest until it heard.
"Mr. Prescott, I got something to say."
Sopty Bottom spoke out anonymously from the anonymous herd. The courtroom swung around on itself to look.
"If you know what's good for you, you better shut your mouth up till somebody calls you," Mr. Prescott told him coldly.
"Yes, Mr. Prescott."
"We are handling this case. Another word out of you, out of any of you niggas back there, and I'll bind you over to the big court."
"Yes, sir."
The white women made a little applause, and Mr. Prescott glared at the back of the house and stepped down. Then the strange white man who was going to talk for her got up there. He whispered a little with the clerk and then called on Janie to take the stand and talk. After a few little questions, he told her to tell just how it happened and to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help her God. They all leaned over to listen while she talked. First thing she had to remember was she was not at home. She was in the courthouse fighting something. And it wasn't death. It was worse than that. It was lying thoughts. She had to go way back to let them know how she and Tea Cake had been with one another, so they could see she could never shoot Tea Cake out of malice. She tried to make them see how terrible it was that things were fixed so that Tea Cake couldn't come back to himself until he had got rid of that mad dog that was in him. And he couldn't get rid of the dog and live. He had to die to get rid of the dog. But she hadn't wanted to kill him. A man is up against a hard game when he must die to beat it. She made them see how she couldn't ever want to be rid of him. She didn't plead to anybody. She just sat there and told, and when she was through, she hushed. She had been through for some time before the judge and the lawyer and the rest seemed to know it. But she sat on in that trial chair until the lawyer told her she could come down.
"The defense rests,"
her lawyer said. Then he and Prescott whispered together, and both of them talked to the judge in secret up high, there where he sat. Then they both sat down. Gentlemen of the jury, it is for you to decide whether the defendant has committed a cold-blooded murder or whether she is a poor, broken creature, a devoted wife, trapped by unfortunate circumstances, who really, in firing a rifle bullet into the heart of her late husband, did a great act of mercy. If you find her a wanton killer, you must bring in a verdict of first-degree murder. If the evidence does not justify that, then you must set her free. There is no middle course. The jury filed out, and the courtroom began to drone with talk. A few people got up and moved about, and Janie sat like a lump and waited. It was not death she feared. It was misunderstanding. If they made a verdict that she didn't want tea cake and wanted him dead, then that was a real sin and a shame. It was worse than murder. Then the jury was back again, out 5 minutes by the courthouse clock. We find the death of Virgil Woods to be entirely accidental and justifiable, and that no blame should rest upon the defendant, Janie Woods. So she was free, and the judge and everybody up there smiled with her and shook her hand. And the white women cried and stood around her like a protecting wall. And the Negroes, with heads hung down, shuffled out and away. The sun was almost down, and Janie had seen the sunrise on her troubled love. And then she had shot tea cake and had been in jail and had been tried for her life. And now she was free. Nothing to do with the little that was left of the day, but to visit the kind white friends who had realized her feelings and thank them. So the sun went down. She took a room at the boarding house for the night and heard the men talking around the front.
Oh, you know them white men wasn't going to do nothing for no woman that looked like her. She didn't kill no white man, did she? Well, as long as she don't shoot no white man, she can kill just as many niggers as she please. Yep, the nigger women can kill up all the men they wants to. But you bet not kill one of them. The white folks will sure hang you if you do. Well, you know what they say. A white man and a nigger woman is the freest thing on earth. They do as they please.
Janie buried tea cake in Palm Beach. She knew he loved the glades, but it was too low for him to lie with water maybe washing over him with every heavy rain. Anyway, the glades and its waters had killed him. She wanted him out of the way of storms, so she had a strong vault built in the cemetery at West Palm Beach. Janie had wired to Orlando for money to put him away. Tea cake was the son of evening sun, and nothing was too good. The undertaker did a handsome job, and Tea Cake slept royally on his white silken couch among the roses she had bought. He looked almost ready to grin. Janie bought him a brand new guitar and put it in his hands. He would be thinking of new songs to play to her when she got there. Sop and his friends had tried to hurt her, but she knew it was because they loved tea cake and didn't understand. So she sent Sop word and to all the others through him. So the day of the funeral, they came with shame and apology in their faces. They wanted her quick forgetfulness. So they filled up and overflowed the 10 sedans that Janie had hired and added others to the line. Then the band played, and Tea Cake rode like a pharaoh to his tomb. No expensive veils and robes for Janie this time. She went on in her overalls. She was too busy feeling grief to dress like grief. Because they really loved Janie just a little less than they had loved Tea Cake, and because they wanted to think well of themselves, they wanted their hostile attitude forgotten. So they blamed it all on Mrs. Turner's brother and ran him off the muck again. They'd show him about coming back there, posing like he was good-looking and putting himself where men's wives could look at him. Even if they didn't look, it wasn't his fault. He had put himself in the way.
"No, I ain't mad with Janie," Sop went around explaining. "Tea Cake had done gone crazy. You can't blame her for protecting herself. She was crazy about him. Look at the way she put him away. And I ain't got nothing in my heart against her. But the very first day that lap-legged nigga come back here, make it out he was looking for work. He come asking me about how was Mr. and Mrs. Woods making out. That goes to show you he was up to something. So when Stuart even booting in, some of the rest of them got behind him, he come running to me to save him. I told him, don't come to me with your hair blowing back, because I'm going to send you. And I sure did. The bitches, baby."
That was enough. They eased their feelings by beating him and running him off. Anyway, their anger against Janie had lasted 2 whole days, and that was too long to keep remembering anything, too much of a strain. They had begged Janie to stay on with them, and she had stayed a few weeks to keep them from feeling bad, but the muck meant Tea Cake, and Tea Cake wasn't there. So it was just a great expanse of black mud. She had given away everything in their little house except a package of garden seed that Tea Cake had bought to plant. The planting never got done because he had been waiting for the right time of the moon when his sickness overtook him. The seeds reminded Janie of Tea Cake more than anything else because he was always planting things. She had noticed them on the kitchen shelf when she came home from the funeral and had put them in her breast pocket. Now that she was home, she meant to plant them for remembrance. Janie stirred her strong feet in the pan of water. The tiredness was gone, so she dried them off on the towel. "Now that's how everything was, Phoebe, just like I told you. So I'm back home again, and I'm satisfied to be here. I done been to the horizon and back, and now I can sit here in my house and live by comparisons. This house ain't so absent of things like it used to be before Tea Cake come along. It's full of thoughts, especially that bedroom. I know all them sitters and talkers going to worry their guts into fiddle strings till they find out what we've been talking about. That's all right, Phoebe, tell them. They're going to make myration because my love didn't work like they love, if they ever had any. Then you must tell them that love ain't something like a grindstone that's the same thing everywhere and do the same thing to everything it touch. Love is like the sea. It's a moving thing. But still and all, it takes its shape from the shore it meets, and it's different with every shore. Lord, Phoebe breathed out heavily. I done growed 10 feet higher from just listening to you, Janie. I ain't satisfied with myself no more. I means to make Sam take me fishing with him after this. Nobody better not criticize you in my hearing. Now, Phoebe, don't feel too mean with the rest of them because they's parched up from not knowing things. Them meat skins has got to rattle to make our days alive. Let them consolate themselves with talk. Because talking don't amount to a hill of beans when you can't do nothing else. And listening to that kind of talk is just like opening your mouth and letting the moon shine down your throat. It's a known fact, Phoebe. You got to go there to know there. Your papa and your mama and nobody else can't tell you and show you. 2 things everybody's got to do for themselves. They got to go to God, and they got to find out about living for themselves. There was a finished silence after that. so for the first time, they could hear the wind picking at the pine trees. It made Phoebe think of Sam waiting for her and getting fretful. It made Janie think about that room upstairs, her bedroom. Phoebe hugged Janie real hard and cut the darkness in flight. Soon everything around downstairs was shut and fastened. Janie mounted the stairs with her lamp. The light in her hand was like a spark of sun stuff washing her face in fire. Her shadow behind fell black and headlong down the stairs. Now in her room, the place tasted fresh again. The wind through the open windows had broomed out all the fetid feeling of absence and nothingness. She closed in and sat down, combing road dust out of her hair, thinking. The day of the gun and the bloody body and the courthouse came and commenced to sing a sobbing sigh out of every corner in the room, out of each and every chair and thing. Commenced to sing, commenced to sob and sigh, singing and sobbing. Then Tea Cake came prancing around her where she was, and the song of the sigh flew out of the window and lit in the top of the pine trees. Tea Cake with the sun for a shawl. Of course he wasn't dead. He could never be dead until she herself had finished feeling and thinking. The kiss of his memory made pictures of love and light against the wall. Here was peace. She pulled in her horizon like a great fishnet, pulled it from around the waist of the world, and draped it over her shoulder. So much of life in its meshes. She called in her soul to come and see.
We hope you've enjoyed this program from Harper Audio. To order additional cassettes or CDs, or to receive a complete catalog of Harper Audio and Cadman titles, please call us at 1-800-331-3761. You might also try our website, www.harperaudio.com. Thank you.